Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the June 22nd, 2025 service at Plymouth, the second Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
As a deer longs for flowing streams of water, our souls reach out to seek our God. And where is our God?
In the cleansing of the rain.
In the refreshing of a pool. In the predictability of a faucet. With glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, our voices lift toward our God. And where is our God?
In the melody of voices in the symphony, in the stillness of silence, in the cacophony of spontaneous praise.
As deep calls to deep, we come to worship the living God. And where is our God?
In the echoes of our prayers,
in the reverence of bowed heads, in the hope of raised faces, the Holy One is here with us.
Next is the hymn, Open My Eyes. Next is the hymn, Spirit.
Spirit.
This morning our scripture is Psalm 42, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, "Where is this God of yours?" My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you, even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, As Pants the Deer for Living Streams.
As pants the deer. Our New Testament reading comes from the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Here, Paul lays out a before and then an after. So here for the before, hold on to the after. Before the way of faith was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that that way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian, as our nanny. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all have been united with Christ in baptism, who have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are Abraham's heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. This is the word of the Lord. I was going to have you listen to a loud and rather energetic song sung by B.B. King, you know, that famous blues guitarist. You know, he was known for "The Thrill Is Gone." That's B.B. King. And that rock group from Ireland, U2. And their song went on for 4 minutes, and I was not willing to give up 4 minutes of their song as my introduction and then do my sermon, because there are those that would kindly suggest that sometimes this pastor is full of many, many words. So rather than have that song played for you, I'll play it later if you wish, but for now, it's a song that talks about what was before and then what was after. The song is called "When Love Comes to Town." The song starts out by talking about, "I was a sailor, I was lost at sea, I was under the waves before love rescued me. I was a fighter, I could turn on a thread, now I stand accused of the things I said. But when love comes to town, I'm gonna jump that train. When love comes to town, I'm gonna catch that flame. Maybe I was wrong to ever let you down, but what I did before love came to town." The song goes on and makes it quite personal. "I was there when they crucified my Lord. I held the scabbard as the soldier drew his sword. I threw the dice when they pierced his side, but I've seen love conquer the great divide. When love comes to town, I'm gonna catch that train. When love comes to town, I'm gonna catch that flame. Maybe I was wrong whenever I let you down, but I did what I did before love came to town." Paul's passage talks about before faith coming to town. You know, growing up isn't easy. It's true in every era, but especially when love comes to town, because it sets a dividing line before about what went on beforehand. When we did our best and usually failed, when he gave our promises and broke them just as quickly as we gave them. This song by B.B. King with U2, "When Love Comes to Town," sets that out so beautifully. The song doesn't shy away from guilt or regret. It speaks from the point of view of someone who's stood on the sidelines while suffering and injustice were played out. And then everything, yes, everything changed. Love came to town, And it arrived with power and urgency, and it turned old assumptions upside down, demanding a new way of living, setting out what was before and then what was after. Well, I borrowed that title and adopted it just a little bit, added a few words to it as well. There you get the wordiness again. We're getting back to that theme, aren't we? Gosh. But that's what I've been thinking lately. I'm a grandparent, soon to be for a third time. That will happen late October and maybe early November. And so when I've been around the toddlers, my, are they busy, I usually need a nap shortly after I've been with them. Grandpa, do this. Grandpa, see me. Yes, yes. I was shoveling gravel with my son yesterday, and in the upstairs windows, I could hear Grandpa being called out again and again and again, see me in the upper window. And I looked up thinking, I'm glad those windows are closed, because if they were open, the screen was right there and they could just push their way through maybe. And well, that would be another story, and we'll not go there today. Being around toddlers means being around messes. Frequent reminders that growth takes guidelines. I hear those grandchildren's parents say things like, don't throw things at the dog. Let's not poke your sister's, your baby sister in the eye. And I think, you know, they need to learn those simple lessons as well as sharing, as well as behaving around a dinner table. They're learning to be human beings like you and I. They're learning what a human looks like and acts like. Growing up isn't automatic. It takes nurture. It takes structure and boundaries. It takes love and, yes, correction. Paul picks up that very idea in Galatians 3. The idea that humanity is in the process of growing up. And spiritually speaking, the law used to act like a guardian, a chaperone, or even a nanny. It helped us form morality in our earlier years. But now love. Love's come to town in Jesus Christ, and it's time for we who follow Christ to grow up. So what's going on in this letter? What's going on in the city of Galatia itself? Let's rewind a bit. Let me give you a little bit of historical context. The Apostle Paul started many churches across the region of Galatia. That area of the world is now called modern-day Turkey. After he'd moved on, a group of Jewish Christian missionaries came into the area. Like Paul, they believed in Jesus, that Jesus was their Messiah. They taught that. But they also taught alongside that, that for those non-Jewish converts, the Gentiles, anyone who is not of Jewish lineage, they still needed to follow parts of the law, like circumcision, dietary restrictions, and even Sabbath rules. In other words, Christ was fine, but Christ wasn't enough. When Paul learned this, he was outraged. He writes that, I was astonished at what you so quickly deserted. You deserted the one who called you in grace. For Paul, the gospel in Jesus plus anything wasn't necessary. It's Jesus, full stop. You've got the whole package right there. In Christ, God has done it completely a new thing. And there's no going back to before. It's unnecessary. That's why this epistle to the Galatians has been called the Epistle of Freedom. Paul is so interested in tweaking the law, he's declaring its reign is over. Salvation isn't something we earn by rule keeping. It's a gift, period. It's given to us. Not because we deserve it, it's just simply because we are so well loved. So what's the law for? What's that Old Testament law? What's its purpose? Paul doesn't dismiss the law of the Old Testament as evil. No, not at all. He says it served a purpose and served it for a time. In Galatians, he calls it a pedagogos, a kind of tutor, chaperone, or even nanny. In the ancient world, wealthy families often assigned a household servant to supervise and discipline the children. Oh, I wish I had one of those years ago. But this is now. They assigned this servant to keep the children out of trouble and to help them grow. But once the child became of age, they no longer needed this tutor, this chaperone, this nanny. Here's how Paul puts it. Before faith came, we were imprisoned, guarded under the law, and the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. So in other words, the law could diagnose the problem, but the law could not fix it. It could tell you what not to do, but it couldn't change the human heart. That kind of healing, Paul believed, comes only through Christ. So when love came to town, the tutorial ended. The training wheels came off, and it was time to grow into grace. And that's where Paul pivots to a new image, one of transformation, one that changes the human heart. And he says those precious words, as many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All the distinctions that used to be saying you're this and I'm not, those have all changed. This is Paul's most radical declaration in all of Scripture, Old or New Testament. In Christ, Paul says, old boundaries are no longer what define us. That doesn't mean we stop being who we are, but our core identity shifts to a new place because love, because faith has come to town. Now, you'll see in my title, before faith, and then in parentheses, belief, hope, trust, come to town. My reason for doing that is because the word faith is made up of all of those words. It is the belief we have in someone of a higher power than us. It is the hope we hold to when all other things, the branch we're hanging on to, the root that we're clinging to off the cliff, when those are giving way, it is the hope we hold on to. And it is the trust that we put in Almighty God, as well as Almighty God puts trust in us. This was revolutionary thought in Paul's day. And my friends, it still is today. Because even now, still, we build walls. We look at others and say, oh, you're not like me, you're one of them. And that wall suddenly goes up between us. Our tendency, we default to defining. So what does it mean to grow up in Christ today? Let me offer three marks of Christian maturity. Three ways we can respond when love comes to town. The first is that we are prone to establish that we're part of a group. And that group can be our friends. It could be our faith, brothers and sisters, the church we belong to. We are prone to tribalism. And that tribalism is defined as we divide the world into us, We're on the inside, and it's them. It's deeply rooted in human tendency to trust our group and dismiss their group, the outsiders. For most of history, that instinct helped build communities, helped them survive. But it also keeps an interconnected world practicing dehumanization. It says something like this: people like us are safe, but people like them are dangerous. Now, I hope that my left side of the congregation here doesn't feel like I'm picking on you simply because I'm looking at these people and saying, us, and then them. I'm hoping you're not taking it personal. If you are, please see me after worship and we'll work this out. That way of thinking, even within churches, in our society today where we polarize and say, I'm on one side, they're on the other. Paul would say to that, it's childish. That is all childish practice. When we grow to maturity, we let go of childish ways. That is childish. In Christ, like our call to worship, and our prayer of confession, we are called beyond fear. The fear that fuels tribalism makes a us and them distinction. We're called to see every human being as God's beloved child and part of a wider family. Now, it doesn't mean that we always agree, but it does mean that we refuse to reduce each other to labels or reduce people to being our enemies. That kind of maturity, that kind of Christian practice, the world is starving for. Even churches can create invisible rules. We say, all are welcome, but don't sit in my seat. When we say all are welcome, do we really mean that? We need to think deeply on that. Who really feels like they belong? Who senses the unspoken signals that they don't quite fit in? It's most often the newcomer. It's most often the one that we want to single out in our worship service and say, you're new here, stand up and tell us all your name. And a little bit about your history, because we're taking notes. Oh no, I just added that part. That aspect of standing out among a crowd, one a stranger and the rest are familiar with each other, is difficult for any to come back in and say, I feel like I fit here. There are times that we create our own version of the law. We have our approved set of behaviors, or maybe it's dress codes, or political stances, or personal histories that somehow become litmus tests for belonging. If this, well, then you belong. If not, don't bother. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Recently, I saw a church sign that read, I'd rather be excluded for the people I include than included for the people I exclude. Very wise saying. And it sounds very much like something Jesus would say. The final point I want to make is that grown-ups are patient with other people's growth. Not everyone is at the same place on the journey. Some are still clinging to old rules, not because they're legalistic, because it's what they've known. It's where they're comfortable. Others are still learning what freedom in Christ really means. A mature church doesn't shame people into growth. It pulls alongside and walks with them. It creates a climate of grace. The Apostle Paul's dream was a church where people didn't have to pretend, didn't have to perform. It would be there that they would grow in Christ at their own pace, surrounded by loving people. So let me finish with this phrase, these words. When love comes to town, old categories break down. Old fear loses its grip, and sometimes something new begins. When faith comes to town, belief, hope, trust, all the old ways pass away, and a new beginning starts. Baptism is our sign that we belong to that new world. We put on Christ like a new garment that identifies and transcends every label, every tribe, and every division. We'll sing soon that old hymn of faith that says, in Christ there is no east or west, in Christ no north or south, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide world. That's the dream. That's the destination. And thanks be to God, it's already begun and is living here. Love has come to town. Yes, and faith with it. We don't have to measure up anymore. We've outgrown the time when we need a chaperone, when we need a mentor, when we need a nanny. The love of God frees us to live. Live our faith out in the grace of God as it's given to us. Amen.
Next is the hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West. Next is the hymn, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Make me a channel of your peace. with you as you confront lies with truth and fear with hope. May Almighty God strengthen you to stand in truth and hope. May the living water Christ refresh you with new streams of righteousness. And may the Holy Spirit wisdom be the voice you follow now as you go out into the world, encouraged and emboldened and renewed. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then she called, right? And then